If you want, you can turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to continue in our parables series today. Matthew chapter 7, we're going to begin reading in verse 24 in just a little bit. We've been going through these parables, earthly stories with a heavenly meaning. And every one of them just proves more and more that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and His Word remains true. Amen? It doesn't matter how many we pull up or what we pull out of the Bible, it can still apply to us today. The problem is, some of us, not all of us, have a little trouble figuring out how to apply. One of the parable that we're going to cover today talks about this. Jesus is instructing us on the idea of learning to apply what we are hearing and what we are learning from Him. And if I were to title this message today, it would be cause and effect. Because in anything that you do, when you do something, something else is going to happen, right? Doesn't matter what it is. If you do X, Y is going to happen. It's all throughout our lives. When you are kind to people, people are going to be kind back. When you save money, you're going to have money. When you study, you're going to make good grades. I said that for all the students in the room. When you maintain your car, it's going to last longer. But unfortunately, that studying thing for me was a little harder to learn. I remember in fourth grade, my teacher, Mrs. Bradshaw, was nice enough to call my parents and tell them that I wasn't doing so good in school. Thank you, Mrs. Bradshaw. So I came home one day with my parents ready to sit me down on the couch and talk to me about my grades. And rather than taking it the negative route, which I'm glad they didn't, rather than punishing me for it, they actually wanted to reward me and encourage me to do better. So what they did, I'm in fourth grade, so BMX bikes and skateboards were all the rage. Tony Hawk and all the skateboard stuff back when I was little was huge. So I had this specific skateboard that I wanted. My brother had a really cool one, and I wanted to be like my brother. So I wanted to have a skateboard like his. So my parents went and purchased the skateboard, brought it home and showed it to me, and they said, "This can be yours when you bring your grades up." So there were about 6 weeks left in the semester, I think. I'm remembering back. So it's 4 to 6 weeks left in the semester. And they said, "If you'll bring home papers of C and above between now and the end of the semester," yeah, the laughter comes because that tells you where the grade was at. If they're happy with the C, we got a problem. So C and above is all I had to do is bring home papers, C and above, and I could have that skateboard at the end of the semester. So one would think that I would begin to try hard, do my best, and bring the grade up. I went the different route, and every Friday when we would go home with this folder that had all our papers in it, I would just look through it first and pull out any bad papers, shove them in my desk, and I walked home with C papers and above. So I earned myself a skateboard, but not the right way, okay? It was the wrong way to go about it. I actually pulled this off, and so at the end of the semester, I had all these papers shoved in my desk that were not so good grades, but they were there, and thankfully, the grade did begin to come up, and I did pass fourth grade, thankfully. But can I be honest with you? There was an effect to the fact that I didn't try. See, the teacher knew. It wasn't because I was dumb. It wasn't because I didn't know what I was doing. It was because I wasn't applying myself. I wasn't trying. So therefore, in fifth grade, it got a little harder because I hadn't tried real hard in fourth grade. There's an effect to everything that we do. The Bible is full of these examples as well. God told Adam and Eve, "I have created this beautiful garden for you. All you have to do is not eat of this tree, and this is all yours." What an incredible life. Unfortunately, they chose to eat from that tree, and sin entered into the world. But later on, God told Noah, "Noah, I'm ready to wipe out mankind. I'm going to flood this earth. But if you'll build an ark," people may laugh at you, but if you'll build an ark, I can save you and your family from this flood. When you, then God. When you, then God. There's cause and effect. God told Moses, I know you're an old shepherd and you think your life is about finished, but if you will follow my lead, together we will lead the people out of Egypt. And they did. And then Jesus comes on the scene in the New Testament. And he begins to impart cause and effect wisdom into each one of us as he's teaching his disciples and those that followed him. He said, when you seek me, you will find me. When you knock, the door will be opened. When you ask, you will receive. Cause and effect. When you, then God. Now, when it comes to the Bible, many of us have this mentality that this is just full of the right answers, that if we study it enough and know the correct answers, we've secured our place in heaven. And sure enough, it is that. Thank Lord we have this to live by. But many of us see it kind of as an encyclopedia. It's full of information, random information that we can use to secure our place in heaven. But it's so much more than that. The Bible is not here to give us rules to live by. It's here to give us a better way of living. Can you say amen to that? We have to understand it's full of instruction. It's written to help us to live a better way. It's instruction, it's not rules. It's not just information. One of the great things about the parables is we're learning that as Jesus was teaching these people, he was also teaching us. The same thing goes for salvation. When we accept Jesus into our heart, some people have this idea that from there on, I'm made new. Therefore, I will make better decisions, never be tempted. My wife and I will get along better. My job will go better. Everybody will do just what I say. And how many at salvation ever experienced that? No. We still have a part in this. It is a partnership between us and God. God has a wonderful plan for every one of your lives. But in order to see that plan unfold, you are going to have to participate. It's a partnership. I believe there's two words that partner together. Two words that we must understand and do in order to live this better way that we're talking about. This better way that Jesus is teaching us about. It's faith and obedience. Faith is, it's easy. Believe in the Lord and you will be saved. It's unconditional love. No matter what you've done in your life, believe in the Lord and you will be saved. Unconditional love. Obedience, on the other hand, is a conditional blessing. We have a part in that. We can live a blessed life if we obey God's word. We can live a blessed life if we understand what it means to live following Jesus Christ. When we choose not to read the Bible, we're missing out on something that is available right at our fingertips to each one of us. It's instruction on a better way of life. If you walk away from anything that I say today, understand it's instruction. It's not rules. It's not commands that just hold you down. There's freedom. There's joy in following what the Bible says. When you, then God. And all of this brings us to our parable today. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27. Let me give you a little bit of introduction into this, because Jesus has just finished the greatest sermon of all, the Sermon on the Mount. He's concluding everything he's just said in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 with this parable. So I would think if this is Jesus' way to end his sermon, it must be pretty important. To do the teaching that he did, he taught us about murder, adultery, love, prayer, fasting, judging others, the golden rule, a true way into the kingdom. And he concludes all of this amazing teaching, all these principles that we can live by with this parable. So listen up. Here we go. Verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. Look at your neighbor and say, if you, then God. Verse 26. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came, the storms rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Look at your neighbor. Say, when you, then God. Jesus is saying, I just gave you a wealth of information. Things you can live by. It's up to you to put them into practice. Think of it like this. Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. Some incredible teaching from Jesus. If that's all you have, if someone just ripped those pages out and only gave you that, and you lived by that, your life would be better. But there's so much more here. There's so much other instruction to help us through any circumstance in our life. The question is, are we applying? Are we using? We know the challenges are coming. We know there's crisis. There's storms that come that we are warned about. Thankfully, we have tornado warnings. Remember just a couple of weeks ago when the tornadoes warnings were, or the sirens were going off, and my wife's rushing everybody to the basement. I'm outside trying to find the tornado, looking all over at, through the lightning. It's dark. It's creepy. It was really creepy. The loud siren going off. It was annoying. But she's yelling at me, get downstairs. But thankfully, we knew if something was going to happen, we had time to get somewhere. There's times when the storm is coming and you have no idea and it's just going to hit you. But you know what? It's okay. If you have a house that's built on a foundation that is a rock, and it's solid, it will not be moved. It's interesting when we talk about houses. If I were to ask you about your home, say you were selling it, and I was to say, describe your home to me. I might be interested. You would begin by telling me, oh, it's a two-story brick home on so-and-so lane. It's got so much square footage, four bedroom, two bath, whatever how you would want to describe it. It's a ranch-style home with, you know, finished basement. There's all kinds of things you can talk about. It's funny, the last thing we ever talk about is the foundation. Yet it's the most important part. Two houses can look identical, have the exact same quality in building them. Unfortunately, if they're not on a rock, if they're not built with a foundation, one will crumble. And that's what Jesus is teaching us. I'll be honest with you, I was laughing to myself this week as I was preparing this in between trips to the hospital, because last week my wife talked about preachers always using sports analogies. So I have one for you today. She used hair products last week. So today we're going to talk about golf. Anybody in here like golf? I got a few hands. Yeah, there's a few. You know, golf is one of those things that there's differing opinions on, because some people love golf. They think it's incredible that you can take a ball this size, be 420, 450 yards away, and within 3 to 4 shots, you're dropping it in a little cup. How impressive is that? It's pretty cool, especially if you're good. Now, some of us, it takes 8 to 12 tries. Anybody in the room? Yep. It's still fun, though. Looking for your balls in the weeds, all that. It's always fun. But then there's others of us who think it's just stupidity. That you would pay money after buying the clubs and the balls and the, got to have the nice clothes, wear all the Nike stuff, and then go out and hit that ball, and you're, it's like you're just chasing it in a pasture. That's all people say. They're just chasing it in a cow pasture. And we pay money to do that. So there's differing opinions on what you would say about golf. But can I be honest with you? There's two things I want to talk about today when it comes to golfing. Two things you would have to have. You cannot golf without these two things. Now, professionals will tell you that just in the golf swing, hopefully I don't knock my, I'm all right. Okay. Just in the golf swing, there's over 700 things going on there that have to be done right in order for you to hit the ball straight. That's not straight. I sliced that. I do have a bad slice. 700 things going on, but I'm going to talk about two. Two things that we can apply to what we're talking about today. We're talking about builders. What are you talking about golf? Here's the thing. Without these two things in our walk with Christ, we will never be successful. We will never be able to do what our scripture said. I want to go back to that scripture and read it to you one time before we talk about golfing. Therefore, I just want to read this first line. Everyone who hears these words of mine, puts them into practice, is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Two things today. The backswing and the follow through. Without those, you'll never be able to golf. Yeah, I know it's simple. The backswing and the follow through. Can you imagine trying to golf with just a backswing? If all you did was just chop at the ball, no follow through, you just stop there. You'd never be a good golfer. You'd never be able to hit the ball further than probably what I did right there. But can you imagine hitting the ball with just a follow through? How crazy. You're teeing off with all the guys and you get up there and you got really nice Callaway clubs and man, you're dressed to the nines, you're ready, and all of a sudden you just go. Can you imagine? Just follow through. That's all you have. No backswing, just follow through. That's ridiculous, right? Church, when it comes to hearing the Word of God, that's the backswing. We got to hear the Word of God. We got to know the Word of God in order to have a backswing. But we have to put it to practice. That's the follow through. You hear the Word of God and you put it into practice. I said you hear the Word of God and you put it into practice. You got to have both or you'll never be successful in following Jesus Christ. I know it's simple, but think about this. What if you just have the backswing? Oh, I know the Word of God. I have all the right answers. I know exactly what I'm supposed to do. I'm at church every week. I go to two churches. Some people do. I go to three churches. Hey, I listen to podcasts all week. I'm in every small group of church. I got the backswing down. You know what happens? Some people with the backswing, they walk around like this, like they're ready to beat you down because they got all the right answers. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, they just look mean. They treat you horrible. But, hey, they know the right answer when it comes to the Bible. But then there's other backswing people. Those who claim to know God. But there's no follow through. They claim to have all the right answers. Unfortunately, they don't put it into practice. I remember Courtney as a Spanish teacher in school. And she would hear students talking in the classroom about coaches who claimed to be Christians, but when they got upset, they didn't sound very Christian. The words coming out of their mouth weren't coming from the Bible. You know what I'm saying? They had no follow through. All they had was the backswing. They talked about loving God. God can help us in the game today. God's going to help us to do well. God's going to keep us healthy. But when it came to the follow through, there was no follow through. If you're getting beat up by the storm, Jesus just very clearly told us, when you hear the Word of God and you put it into practice, you're building a foundation that will last through any storm, through anything that comes against you. You have what you need. Aren't you thankful for that? What would we do? My father-in-law, Courtney talked about it. He had heart surgery this week. And any time a crisis like that happens, all I ever think is, what do people do with that? Who do they turn to? How do you make it through that? Proverbs 16:20 says, those who listen to instruction will prosper. Said, those who listen to instruction will prosper. Those who trust the Lord will be joyful. Church, if you want to prosper and be joyful, the proverb just told us how to do it. If you want a firm foundation, one that is built on the rock, you need to hear the Word of God and put it into practice. And this is the kind of relationship that will weather the storm. It says, verse 25, the rain came down, the streams rose, the wind blew, and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation See, by rain and floods and winds, Jesus is expressing the calamities of life, the afflictions that none of us are exempt from. It's coming. The storm is coming. Can I be real with you? The storm's coming. It's not how do I avoid the storm, it's how do I make it through the storm. It's how do I withstand the things that come against me. False accusations, death, loss of a friend, sickness, loss of a job, financial problems. Jesus called the steadfastness of his doctrine a rock. Something to be built on. Something to stand on. Something that keeps you going when the going gets rough. Now, I want to say a statement here. If you're taking notes, I believe this is on the back of the bulletin. You wouldn't even have to write it down. But if you're taking notes, this would be very good to write down. Spiritual maturity is directly related to the length of time between hearing the Word of God and doing it. Say that again. Spiritual maturity is directly related to the length of time between hearing the Word of God and putting it to practice. This parable indicates the obedience to God's Word will lead to peace, to stability, and to withstand the storms of life. Peace is something everyone wants, yet few find. You know, we save up all our life in order to have the money to buy the home that we always wanted, sit back and retire and have peace. Until we get there, and then we're still trying to find peace. If you want peace, it's built through Jesus Christ. Building one's life on the Word of God will lead to peace, happiness, and stability. R.C. Sproul said this, "I cannot read God's mind. However, I can read God's Word." You can know God's Word, and it will lead you in the right direction. But if you don't know it, if there's no backswing, all you got's the follow through. You know what we do is we go through life just loving everybody. We've got the follow through. We love everybody we come in contact with. However, we're trying to please everyone at the same time. And we're exhausted because we're not filling ourselves with anything. There's no backswing. It's all just follow through. I love everybody. Jesus loves everybody. That is right. You are to love everyone. But there's a balance to that. There is direction that comes from God's Word. You know, if I'm loving everyone else and I'm leaving my wife and children out, then I'm doing something wrong. I need the instruction of God's Word to help me keep the balance, to stay healthy, so that I have both the backswing and the follow-through. Not very complicated subject today. Pretty simple. But we must apply it. And that's the question I have for you today. Jesus said this in the Beatitudes. The very beginning of Matthew chapter 5, he said, once again, this is cause and effect. Happy are the merciful, because they will receive mercy. Happy are the pure in heart, they will see God. Happy are the peacemakers, they will be called the sons of God. God's Word is not burdensome commands that limit our freedom. They're actually designed to bring us peace and well-being. You know, yesterday, my kids, we've been gone most of the week, and the house was a little out of control. Their rooms were really out of control. So I went to Connor and Tess and I said, you guys need to clean your room. Well, it's Saturday. So their argument is, Dad, it's Saturday. This is our only free day to play all day. And I'm saying, you got all day to play, so you got a few minutes to clean your room. And so we sat down and we talked about, why do we clean our room? It's not punishment. It's not when they do something wrong that I say, go clean your room. They clean their room because a clean room is a better way of living. A clean room means I know where my socks are. They're in the drawer when I need to have a clean pair of socks. Connor doesn't care much about a clean pair of socks. He can go with a dirty pair all day and all week. And if he can't find them, that's his excuse. I couldn't find him. I don't know where they're at. But if his toys are put away in the right place, if his clothes are hung up, he's going to have a better way of living because he has a clean room. Church, that's all God's doing for us. He's not punishing us. He doesn't give us rules to live by. He gives us a better way of living. Are you understanding this? He wants the best for us, just as I want the best for my children. God, how much more does He want the best for you and I? And all He's saying is, I'm giving you the instruction to live by. Just put it to practice. Jesus came to provide a lasting peace. He said in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I don't give it to you as the world gives. Let not your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid." And that peace comes through putting it to practice. Information plus application equals transformation. Information applied will bring us to transformation. You know what my heart is? I cannot tell you how much I love being your pastor, serving you. I enjoy getting to know you. I love coming in here every week and just worshiping God with you. But let's say this team right here that's with us today, they're not here on an every Sunday basis. And let's say next year, this same 1 year from whatever this Sunday is, they came back to visit. How incredible would it be? My desire is that they would come in and see totally different people. We're the same. It's still you and me, but we're different because we apply what Jesus has taught us. And we're different people because we're growing every day. We're changing every day. We're new every day. And we're applying what we're learning along the way. How incredible would that be? I want to see us different 1 year from now. As great as this church is right now, I'm not saying you're not good. You guys are incredible. But can we not all, myself included, apply what God has given us in His Word and find ourselves better people? Amen? So will you bow your heads with me? James 1:22 says, "Be doers of the Word and not hearers only." So I guess my question to you today, because we've heard the Word of God. We've heard the instruction that He's placed on us today. My question would be, what's the follow through for you? For some of you in this place, the follow through is accepting Jesus Christ. You've never taken that step to say, "Jesus, I want you in my heart. And I invite you there today." That could be the follow through for you today. For some of us, we've accepted Jesus in our heart. Maybe it's time for baptism. To publicly say, "Jesus, I want to just profess your name and I want to show everyone that I am made new through baptism." If that's you, that's your follow through today. For some of us, we've been hearing the words a long time. And we've just never taken that extra step of applying what we've heard. This is not up to me to choose what it is you need to hear today. It's up to the Holy Spirit. He is speaking to you right now and He's saying, "This is something in your life that you have struggled with. The storms of life have been beating you up. And I want to place you on a firm foundation that does not move. I want to place you on the rock." Just apply these simple things into your life. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23 has a list of things that Jesus says defile a person. "For within a person's heart the evil thoughts come: sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All of these evils from inside defile a person." What's the Holy Spirit speaking to you about? So with your heads bowed, I'm just going to ask this. If there's anyone in this room and you say, "Chad, I just want to rededicate my life to the Lord. I want to commit my life to God right now." If that's you, I'm just going to pray with you. Will you raise your hand? Anybody in this room? Yeah? I see that. You can put your hand down. I see that one. Thank you. Anybody else? Let's repeat this prayer together. Heavenly Father, I believe in you. I believe you died on a cross so that I can be saved. Thank you for accepting me. Thank you for loving me. Despite my past, despite wrong decisions, I am made new today. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. For the rest of us, maybe there's a storm in life that's been beating you up. And you just want some prayer today. Hey, my wife and I are here. We would love to agree with you in prayer. But I would encourage you, take these words that Jesus has given us to not just have a backswing, not just to have all the right answers, not just to secure your place in heaven, but to have the follow through. Because you'll find, as you begin to follow through, you're going to bring other people along with you. You're going to find other people following what you're doing. Because your life is better. You're happier. You have peace in your heart that others cannot describe and others don't understand. It's something that only you can have because you have the Word of God and you put it into practice. All of us can have it. Unfortunately, all of us don't know about it. So as you begin to take that Word of God and put it into practice, you'll find yourself leading others closer to Jesus. Isn't that what we're here for? I said, isn't that what we're here for? Come on, isn't that what we're here for? Amen. Will you stand to your feet? Jesus, thank you so much for your Word. Thank you for your promises that you place in your Word. God, that keep us firm on the foundation that will not shake and will not be broken. It's not by our might, but by yours. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace as we walk out of this place today. God, may we be able to defeat the storms of life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Once again, if you said that prayer, I'd love to talk with you. If you need to follow through by being baptized, I would love to talk with you. Please come and talk to me and let's pray together. Let's talk about it. If you'd like to follow through by applying some things to your life and you just need somebody to agree with you in prayer, I'm right here. Please come forward. Have a great day. Lord bless all of you. We love you.